Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to recap just a couple of things because it's been a couple of weeks since we were together. As I begin, let me ask you a question. How close are you to becoming the Christian that you've really only dreamed about being? How close are you to becoming that? Is it possible for God to take you to another level where you are at in your life today? Is it possible? And how do we get there from here? So many times we expect a burning bush experience to take us to where we, you know, have this super event. But in reality, that is not God's normative New Testament plan to mature us. As a matter of fact, his plan is really all about little things working together to accomplish big things in becoming Christ-like in every aspect of our attitudes, actions, and appetites. So sometimes we think that, wow, you know, if the biggie happens, you know, the Ten Commandments come down from the mountain, if the earth opens up, if the bush is burning, if we see the glistering on the mountaintop, wow, great things are going to happen. You know what? That's not the normative way God does things. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and works in the hearts of his children to change moment by moment, hour by hour, in many little different things. Do you know what insanity is? One definition of insanity is expecting things to change in your life when you don't do the little things to bring that change about. Insanity is repeating the same process and expecting different results. That's a form of insanity. And God says he wants to change our lives. Sometimes we listen for the big things, but what God really wants us to do is pay attention to the important things, which are often the everyday things. Let me read for you Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. We're really going to focus on verse 30 to the end, so we don't have a long run. So I know many of you are comfy and cozy and ready to get snoozy, but try and fight through it and hit the pause button, and you'll make it. Let me read for you verse 21 down to verse 33. Remember, verse 21 is a heading verse for all of the rest of the scripture here, concluding into chapter 6, by the way. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Lord, I know that you want to encourage us and help us and edify us. But I also know, Lord, unless we confront our sinful selves, unless we confront the sinful choices that we make in our lives, there will not be growth. As John the Baptist, O Lord, you sent him to call the children of Israel to repentance. So you call us to take our cross daily and to make sure that we fight against the sin that is in our lives and replace that with biblical obedience. Please, Lord, in your mercy and your grace, edify, mature, and grow your people, and myself too, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember back in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is an excess, but be being filled by the Spirit of God. In other words, you're going to be filled with what Jesus Christ is like by the means of the Spirit as he uses the Word of God. And on a daily basis, it is both personal and vertical and personal and horizontal. Verse 19, you do that by speaking to yourselves and among yourselves by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's where, for those of you that were in that class, we had that fun little thing with Charlie Brown and say, don't go there. I don't want that going through my head. I don't want that. How many of you had that song going through your head for a while after we did that one? So yeah, it was going through your head for a while. Verse 20, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is living on a daily basis of just walking around, joying and rejoicing of what God is doing in your life. So we looked at verses 21 to 24, really address the Christian household. And of course, verse 21 is that heading verse. Everything that follows, in especially till chapter 6 down to about verse 4, is talking about submitting one another as the husband and wife relationship in the home. This is how we live out the Spirit's control in the home. So we have submission to the will of God. And what does that look like for the woman? Well, it says the wife is to submit herself unto her own husband. Remember that the Greek word submit there, ladies, this is important for you, is it's present middle voice. It means you need to be doing it right now. But it means, ladies, that you are to be doing it. It is not the husband's job to make you submit. It is your job to be doing that. Middle voice indicates the subject is performing the action upon yourself. It is reflexive. And then, of course, it's a command. So it is not the idea we as husbands are not supposed to constantly be reminding our wives that they are to what? Be submissive. They are to be reminded by God, and we are to make that easy. So we looked at the power of submission and its limitations. Verses 23 and the following, husband, you're the head of the wife. But how are you to do that? Verse, as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the wife. And the husband can never ask the wife to do anything that Christ would not ask him to do, or he does not have any authority at all. In the Christian household, loving like Christ, verse 25, husband loves your wife, even as Christ loved the church. And the whole purpose, verse 26, is that might set it apart from sin and make sure that they live confessing and keeping confessed up and prayed up in verse 26. And it's all by paying attention to the Word of God, which causes you to keep confessed up, so it's a washing effect. Because he wants in verse 27 to present us, what? As a glorious church, as a pure church. So we are, in verse 28, as men ought to love their wives as their own body, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. But what are we as men supposed to do? Two key things. Number one, we are to nourish our wives, and that comes from the Greek word ektrepho, and it means to provide for her, work to provide for her. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We are to cherish them. Look at the second one, thalpo. This comes from the Greek words, which means to warm by loving words. Don't treat your wife so as to make her hard of heart. Don't treat others so as to make them hard of heart. Make it easy for people to live for God by you living for God yourself. By the way, what is the horribleness of hypocrisy? What is usually true about the hypocrite? They call you to do that which they are unwilling to do themselves, right? Isn't that the definition of a hypocrite? That's right. They're calling you to do something that they are not willing to do themselves. And as a result, now, do sometimes hypocrites call us to do the things we should be doing? But doesn't it make it harder when it's being called by hypocrisy? Yes, that's right. Even though we should still do maybe what the hypocrite said, it's hard to swallow when the person who's telling me to do that isn't working on it themselves. So, men, you got to be careful, because we harden our wives by inattention, by poor communication, by poor provision, by default leadership, by laziness, by poor spiritual leadership, and not bringing our families to church and leading in evangelism, leading in witnessing. And so that brings us to where we left off. We need to, in verse 30, what does it tell us to do? The Christian household? Well, it is actually a mystery. He's talking about Christ and church. We make up the church. We make up his body on earth. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. In other words, we're the Jesus Christ the world sees. Now, you ready? If I was an unsaved person and I were to walk with you for a week, I was to spend time in your home. I was to spend time at your dinner tables. I was to spend time with you in the vehicles. Would I want the Jesus Christ that you are really putting forth by the way that you live your life? Would I want your Christ? Jesus said a very interesting statement. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. It's one thing when Christians aren't involved in evangelism. It's a whole other thing when we are anti-evangelism. But if you talk to any professing Christian, are you anti-evangelism? What would they say? No, I'm not anti-evangelism. And yet by their lips they're not, but by their life they can be. That's a hard thing for us because you know why? Brothers and sisters, none of us live to perfection, do we? None of us live to perfection. And no one wants absolute over-scrutiny. That's why we point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just to our example of that. But the Christian household, the church is literally made up of you and me. Have you ever wondered, Lord, why did you set it up like that? I mean, the gospel is supposed to go out to a lost and dying world from the lips of those you've saved, Lord. And as you look around the camp, Lord... It isn't near what it ought to be. Lord, why did you set it up that way? You see, because Jesus Christ loves you so much that he gave you expectations and responsibilities. He wants you to follow through and to live to the glory of God. Look at verse 31. It says there in verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. We're to leave off former relationships and devote ourselves to one key relationship, and that is to our wives, obviously, and to glorify God. This is the Christian's responsibility to Christ, so the husband's responsibility is to love their wife, and human marriage is what salvation provides as an example. This is a great mystery, verse 32, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus is saying, as the Christian loves the Lord Jesus Christ, so ought the husband to love their wives. This is a model example. This is literally goes to testimony. Have you ever wondered why the Lord is so hard on divorce? Because it breaks this type. And God does not want this type broken. He wants us to make sure that we maintain a proper and a biblical relationship with him. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now I want to expound on this just a little bit and I'll let you go home. The summation of our responsibilities, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you've been born again into the family of God, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you truly are saved, the summation of the responsibility is, as he says, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. And the idea there of loving in particular comes from the Greek word kata. And it means that we are to make sure that we love them faithfully and endure in that faithfulness for a long time. How do we do that? Well, look at verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. By the means of the Spirit, become Christ-like. So that in your daily life, what are the details that we can do to become godly people? Well, we can speak among ourselves with the truth of the Word of God put to song, the truth of the Word of God with songs that we make up, and the truth of the Word of God that we entertain in our hearts and life. In other words, we can be a biblical, obedient Christian who is overcoming moment by moment the battles of sin in our lives, and therefore we are a good person to live with. You know, some mornings Colleen wakes up grumpy. Other mornings she lets me sleep. You thought I was going to say something about her, didn't you? Oh, I got you on that one. There we go. I got you on that one. But the point of the matter is how you wake up in the morning and devote your heart to God and allow that the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly is going to set the tone for your day. What happens if I get up in the morning and I'm grumpy? If I get up, you know, sometimes we wake up and we haven't slept good or we don't feel good or we're tired. All those things can be contributing factors to have a really tough day, right? They can be. But how about if we let the spiritual side of us dominate the intellectual, physical side of us and said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyway. When my dad, getting on in years, he was in an accident. He had terrible, debilitating back struggles. I mean, it just hurt all the time. And the crushed vertebrae was an issue. One of the things I'd watch Dad do when he'd get up, he had this funny little crank thing, like, you know, a crank that would be connected to a winch that went up to the ceiling and kind of pulled him up. And Dad, when he's going up, he'd go, ooh, and he'd run this little winch and he'd get himself up. What was Dad doing? Dad was in pain when he was getting up, but he was trying to do what? Make light of a lifelong pain. And even though the pain was in him, the pain didn't own him. The pain that every one of us feel on a daily basis, the struggles that every one of us have, guess what? You're not going to get out of this thing alive, so it's going to be a part of that. You can let that own you, or you can own it. By letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, sing those songs. Let that truth run through your heart. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be consumed with sin. You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to be consumed with fear. Focus on God. Focus on the word. And let your, what does Philippians 4 thing say? Whatsoever things are true, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous. Think on these things and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Successful Christian living is not the absence of struggle. Successful Christian living is the overcoming, the control of the struggle by having the mind of Christ and being what God would have us to be. This is how we become like Jesus in life. What was Jesus? Did Jesus suffer? Hey, he had no place to lay his head. Was he mocked? Was he lied about? Was he confronted? Did they try and kill him? I mean, on and on and on and on. Well, I speak a mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, these are the things that we can do. Every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself. We need to have this according to the way that Jesus loved, we need to love. And then it's very interesting. It says, wives, you are to reverence your husband. Let me tell you what this doesn't mean. When the husband walks through the door, oh, thou greatest one of the household, boy, thou great, neat person, it's good to have you home. How many of you can picture Gloria doing that? How many of you can picture my wife doing that? She I tried, honey. I really did. I tried. Right? Hey, that's because that's not what God's asking for. That's not what God's asking for here. That doesn't fit. That would be, I mean, literally, that would either be nauseating or humorous, right? It would be one or the other. It's not what God's looking for in here. The reverence has the idea is make sure that you respect the position God put them in, even if everything about that person is not respectable. Even if that person is not really respectable. And you need to pray for them. You need to recognize that there's a person that you need to be working on. You know, can I help you with something? Sometimes it's hard to love people for where they are, isn't it? Because they're kind of abrasive and caustic and hard to get along with. How about this? How about loving them for what they can become in Christ? Let's love them for what they can become in Christ. That way, all of us can really love one another, can't we? And by the way, there's going to be times when I need you to love me that way, because I might be unlovely. And there's going to be times when you're unlovely, and I'm going to need to love you that way. And so if we establish that, because if we live on the love, well, as long as you're being really nice to me and things are flowing really good, I'm going to love you, but you better not mess up, or I'll start hating you. Isn't that the way the world? That's the way the world does it. You know, say I do, I do, I say I do, I do. And we pledge, you know, that we'll love each other till death do us part. No, 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 no. Until I don't like you anymore. Right? Isn't that what it's become? Until I don't like you anymore. That's literally what it's come. But what is the Bible telling us here? No, it says that this needs to be enduring love. To walk in the Spirit is to cooperate with the indwelling of Jesus Christ by the means of the Holy Spirit to make us live like he did on this earth. And it's choosing to love like he did. Personally, you do this by scripture in your heart, speaking to yourselves, among yourselves, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song, letting that truth flow through, even in song form, letting that flow through your life. Sing scripture in church. By the way, one of the reasons I deeply appreciate Pastor Tim, and I know that many of the world, that you know, they have the songs, and I'll step over here into the fluffy Christian world. Jesus is light and marshmallows and fluffiness, and it's happiness always and joy. And we're here to feel good about feeling good and fluffiness and clouds and sprinkles and ice cream and snowflakes and flowers and tulips, and I'm running through daisies in a field of the mountain, and the hills are alive. But when you come to this church, you know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heirs of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. We sing substantive doctrinal songs. Why? To think about God, to be grateful, to worship him, to fight down our fleshly... You know what? If I just think about fluff and clouds and everything, when I get back down, what has changed about the problems or struggles of my life? Not a thing. Nor do I have any power. The only time my mind is not being dragged down is when I'm actually kind of, you know, not thinking about it. But if I think about Christ and my responsibility, I actually overcome and address the problem so that it does not control me. Therein is the power of God, more than just the old Norman Vincent Peale power of positive thinking. There is the power of the Word of God to transform us. So we sing scripture in our church to remind us, so that we'll sing it all week long. And it's scripture that is supposed to be spoken in the home. Look what it says there in verse 19. And in your heart, all week long, in your relationship with God, so that you joy and rejoice as to how powerful God is in your life. It's the authority of Scripture. I'm going to ask a couple questions, and I want everyone to ask it of themselves. Don't look around. This isn't for anybody else. You and I are the only two in the room, and I'm asking me. You just happen to overhear me. Are you biblically happy? And what's keeping you from it? Does God have the answer? Well, then what do we need to do? It's not hard. You ready for the little song? Kids, obedience is the very best way. Show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. We won't bother spelling. We teach our little kids that. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm the little kid that needs that. That I need to listen, to learn, to apply these basic, essential truths that God has for us. So what did it say? We're members of his body. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to love my wife. She is to reverence me. We are to do this under remember the title verse, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, never ask your mate to do something that you're not willing to do. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, I need to love my wife and see that she reverence me. We're doing this all to the glory of God, and we make it possible by what? Not letting this world control us through alcohol or anything out externally, but speaking the word of God and singing it in my heart and daily working at that. You know what? The most important part of setting the tone of your day is the beginning of your day. spend some time in prayer with the Lord. And let the Lord use the word as a mirror to see you. And say, Lord, today I want to obey the little things that I see here that are really, really big things, that are really, really important things. And in doing so, we'll be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you ask of us obedience, and we respond with selfishness. You ask of us submission, and we respond oftentimes, Father, with rebellion or ideas that are contrary to what your scriptures clearly say. You ask of us to be a testimony. And so, Lord, we often respond by saying, I've said some words about you. And yet, oh Lord, you want obedience from the heart. You want us to walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that when we fail, and we all do here, that you forgive us when we confess our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you're long-suffering and patient. Thank you, Lord, that we can attend a church where each one of us works on our sin, not expecting perfection, but looking at our life's direction. And as iron sharpeneth iron, sharpen the countenance round about. So, Lord, we pray that you give us strength, that you give us endurance, that you give us love, that you give us long-suffering and patience one with another. And yet, Lord, to hold each other to the truth of your word. And so, Father, we pray as we go our separate ways that we would be mindful that we are partakers of the gospel. And, Lord, that you would enable us to walk worthy of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so very much for coming.